Thanks for listening to the Last Days podcast with Dr. Todd and Katie Holmes. To stay connected, please check out the River of Tri-Cities Church on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, or online at riverofticities.com. The Last Days podcast can be found on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. Now, here's Dr. Todd and Katie Holmes.
Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Glory to God. Thank you so much, worship team. Hallelujah. That's the way we've got to live our lives every day. It's already done. This is what God's Word said. It's finished. Amen. See the victory. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. If you'll declare it and you'll decree it, then you can see it. But you gotta start speaking the Word to your situation. Not talking about it. You don't talk about the mountain, you talk to the mountain. Amen. Everybody around you in the world, they like to talk about the problem, talk about the issue, about the mountain, about their troubles. But we talk to them. In the name of Jesus, mountain, you are moving because I've got to go. I'm going somewhere. I'm going somewhere. My focus isn't on problems. You say, "Oh, you don't have any, Pastor Todd." No. I deal with issues and problems all the time, constantly. But I don't let it affect the direction I'm going. I don't let it get me down and depressed and discouraged and anything like that. No. We don't have time for that. I don't have time for that. I don't know if any of you do. You have way too much time then. I stay busy. I floor it all the time, and I don't have time to lose. I'm like, this is the plan of heaven, and I've got to go with it. Amen. And so people might say, "Well, Pastor Todd, you're just a little too ambitious." No, I'm just telling you, I've got things to do. Amen. I'm not going to let the devil slow me down. Well, I'm going forward. I know what God's called. I know what He's called for, and I don't have any plan. I'm backing up, slowing down. Amen. We're here to take ground. Now, I'm not saying that the enemy doesn't come and try to get in your ears. Anybody ever had the devil try to talk to you? Yeah. If you didn't raise your hand, you're a liar. Amen. The enemy tries to get in your head, tries to talk to you, tries to get you to consider, try to see things his way. Jesus went through the same thing. He was tempted. His 40 days in the wilderness, he was tempted by the devil. He was tempted in all ways like we are. That's what the Bible says. Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, pride of life. Those temptations covered those three areas. And so in the same way that you get tempted, I get tempted, the enemy came to Jesus, tempted him. What did he use against the enemy? The Word of God. Why are you trying to outsmart him? Why are you trying to use your intellect, trying to reason with the devil? Just use the Word of God. It's a weapon. The Word of God is a weapon, and it's an effective weapon against the enemy. But most believers don't know how to use the Word because they don't know the Word. But if you get in the Word, you'll spend time in the Word, you'll let the Word get inside of you, then you speak to whatever the situation is. Speak to the debt. Speak to the physical issue. You don't try the Word. You let the Word try you. Amen. You do the Word. You speak the Word. You just be determined. I am determined. Well, that reminds me. I had to bring that song back up. Old Tim Shepherd song. I am determined to be invincible. Till he has finished his purpose in me. I used to sing that so many times ago. I want to tell you, you have to be so determined that this is what God says. I'm not backing down, and I'm not going to listen to the junk that the enemy's trying to throw at me. This morning, I want to talk to you about four deals the devil tries to make with you, with the people of God. Four deals the devil tries to make with you. And I thought it was very interesting because I had this message I was working on. And then my wife said, "This is what's on my heart." And I said, "Oh, that'd been on my heart also." But and then I see how it all ties together anyway. And I want to tell you, the enemy is a liar. The devil is a liar. He is a thief, okay? He is a destroyer, but he will not have effect on your life. Amen. He's not going to have an effect on your life. Turn in your Bibles into the book of Exodus. We'll start in chapter 8. But let me just say this as you're turning there. Satan's biggest fear is losing complete control of you. Satan's biggest fear is losing complete control of you. And you might say, well, I'm a Christian, and so he doesn't have any control of me. I wish I could believe that. But I see the enemy manipulating more believers. He manipulates the believers. He does. He uses fear. He uses all kinds of tactics to get you to go in the direction that he wants you to go. You say, well, my heart belongs to Jesus. Yeah, but your mind he controls. Your direction he controls. But my heart, you know, I'm not saying you might not go to heaven when you die. If you've given your life to Jesus Christ, you're a blood-bought, born-again child of God. I believe, according to the Word of God, you know, when you die, you're going to go to heaven. And I know this, that earth is the only hell the believer will ever know. For the unbeliever, earth is the only heaven they're going to know. And you say, well, it's hell for me too. Well, you know what? You go from one hell to another. And that's why I don't have a problem going up to people saying, hey, did anyone ever tell you God loves you, has a wonderful plan for your life? If you were to die right now, do you know for certain, beyond the shadow of a doubt, that you would go to heaven? You say, oh, that's using too much. What if you scare them? Where am I going to scare them to? Hell number two? I'm in a rescue mission. I got to keep people out of hell. I don't want to see anybody go to hell. I don't care who they are. They don't need to go to hell. I want you to go to heaven. I want God to change your life. I want you to be on the track where you can experience the blessing of the Lord. And if you're around me and you stick around here long enough, my intention is to rub off on you. Hallelujah. So that you become a bold believer also. And you become one who talks and you share your faith. And you say, hey, let me tell you what God's done in my life. Your testimony is so vitally important. People need to hear it. The enemy just loves to shut people down. He doesn't want you talking about your faith. He doesn't like that. You know, I was listening to a message from a local pastor here. Over in Piney Flats, Presbyterian pastor. Why would he do that? I don't know why I did, but I did. Found myself listening to his message. Now, I don't agree with his doctrine whatsoever, and I don't agree with the Presbyterian Church USA. Started ordaining and licensing homosexuals and things like that, and because that's sin. So I don't have anything to do with that, okay? And they choose that path, but in 1968, the Presbyterian Church began to decline in its numbers, and it's just continued to fall. And this guy was talking about, and he was a hierarchy in the Presbyterian Church. He was talking about the reason he was there's three reasons for that. All three of them tied back to one thing: they don't share their faith. They don't share it with strangers. They don't even share it with their family. Parents don't even share it with their kids. I was like, well, that's the saddest thing. And this is one of the hierarchy in the Presbyterian Church. And he says, well, he goes, you know, sometimes I might share my faith with my kids. Like, you know, if we were driving through a thunderstorm and, you know, and then we get through the other side and I say, see, God delivered us from the storm. I was like, you and about 10 million other people that were driving through the storm also. No, that's not God's deliverance. That's maybe some good driving. I'm talking about the miraculous. That's what we need to see in our lives. Not the ordinary. I'm talking about the supernatural. That's what will get the kids' attention. That's when you look and you say, "Woo! Look, God delivered us. God delivered us." And I want to tell you, God is still in the business of delivering his people. But you've got to put your full trust in him. Stop saying, well, we're going to do this, but maybe not. Maybe it will. We tried that. No, you don't try it. You just do the word. Amen. You keep doing the word. Well, it's tough. Good. Keep doing it. Amen. That's like you quitting because your job's hard. Come on, you wimp. This is more than I bargained for. Oh, please. Just do the job. Just keep doing the job. Be consistent. God will deliver his people. But he doesn't want to lose complete control of you. If you are a believer, through intimidation and force, he wants to control your influence. He wants to control or influence your possessions or your finances. He wants to control or possess your family, your decisions, and your moves, all in an attempt, actually, to control your worship. Because that's where he wants to shut you down. He wants to control your worship. That is something that when he tempted Jesus, all of this you can have. Look, everything here. All you need to do is worship me. Worship me. Freedom. How many of you believe that Christ set you free? Amen. Across this place, hands up all over the place. I want to tell you this. We believe in freedom, and we're in a nation where we believe in freedom. I still believe it's the majority of this nation that wants freedom. And that will stand for freedom, if necessary, fight for freedom. Amen. I'm of that. I'm cut the same way. Amen. Still belong to the Black Robe Regiment. Amen. Those were the preachers. That's what it was, you know, back in the beginning of this nation, who they would preach, and then they'd say, all right, here we go. We're going to war. But I want to tell you this, that the enemy is trying to undermine the church. He's trying to do everything he possibly can. He can say, well, you can talk freedom, but I want you to live in bondage. You can talk freedom, but I want you to live in bondage. Freedom has to be demanded by the oppressed. Freedom, all throughout the history of the world, freedom has to be demanded by the oppressed. It's never willingly relinquished by the oppressor. Okay? Never in the history of mankind. Freedom is never willingly relinquished by the oppressor. God desires for everything that you have to be released into his kingdom and for it to thrive in the kingdom of God. His plan is for your life, your family, your finances, your businesses, everything about you to thrive in the kingdom of God. He has a way and he has a plan, but you have to acknowledge him. And you have to worship God with everything that you are. With everything that you are. My wife was just sharing that out of the scripture there. How when Hezekiah took the throne after his wicked father had passed away, he brought everything back in line with what the word of the Lord was. And then people began to worship once again. I mean, when you shut the doors of the church, which, oh, by the way, that's never been tried here in America. When you try to shut the doors of the church, you try to shut people from worshiping. That's why the Word of God says, and forsaking not the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, okay, you don't do it. You're like, I'm going to come together. This church will never be shut down. Never be shut down. We weren't shut down before. We didn't shut our doors before. We're not shutting them down ever again. Okay? No, I said, we didn't before. We're not going to do it again. You say, well, you don't understand how bad it might get. You don't understand how big God is. Amen. He's a God that will deliver. Amen. Amen. You say, well, pastor, you might go to jail. Hey, that's okay. I'm good with that. They won't want me in there very long. That I guarantee you. Amen. We ended up having Holy Ghost revival in the jail. Praise the Lord. As long as what we have is tied up by the enemy and tied up in the world, well, understand this, the believer will go back to get it. If you have something that is tied to the world and you say, that's mine, you'll be back to get it. Now, in the story of Moses when he went before Pharaoh, the incredible thing is, I think when you read the beginning of Exodus chapter 7, I believe it is, God spoke to Moses. And his words, I believe, is in the first or second verse. To Moses, he says, Moses, I will make you as a god to Pharaoh, and Aaron will be your prophet. What's a prophet do? A prophet speaks for God. Prophet speaks for God, period. And he said, Moses, I will make you as a god before Pharaoh. When he sees you, he will look at you as a god. And Aaron will speak for you. And so God said, this is the plan that I have. I want my people delivered from Egypt. Egypt, throughout the Old Testament, you understand, is a type of the world. It's a type of sin. And still, there's so many believers who say, you know what, I love the Lord, but I'm in bondage. In bondage to the system of the world, in bondage to the things of the world. I love Jesus. I give my heart to Jesus, but I've got some things going on here. And I want to tell you, the enemy wants you to keep coming back to the things that are tied to him. And that's why he keeps a hold of people. Keeps a hold of people in their minds. He keeps a hold of them in their actions and everything like that. But we have to be unified as the body of Christ against the enemy. The Word of God says, and I'm going to refer to this here in Psalm 133, verses 1 through 3, and then we're going to go up into Exodus. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's like the precious oil upon the head running down on the beard of Aaron running down on the edge of his garments. It's like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded his blessing, life forevermore. That word good, there in the Hebrew, in the Hebrew word, it talks about a limitless bounty. Behold how good and how pleasant it is. There is a limitless bounty for the children of God. If they will come together and stand against the attacks of the devil. You know, you got to link arms with believers. Not just I'm all out on my own, this is all myself. No, you're a fool. You're a fool. You need to come together in strength with the body of Christ. Amen. And we have to stand against the attacks of the enemy. Whenever the children of God are in unity, when they're like sold out, when they're like 100%, God, it says there, Psalm 133, he commands his blessings. Did you read that in Psalm 133? That is where God commands the blessing. He says, you will be blessed. That's why you hear us so much of the time, come on, let's come together in this. You shouldn't be out here, you know, on the sides and everything like that. No. Don't let the enemy sideline you. Don't let him pull you to the side and say, oh, you just have to deal with this all by yourself. No, you don't. You say, hey, come, I'm going to come to church. I'm going to get involved with the body of Christ here. I'm going to have people pray for me. I'm going to have them come into agreement with me. People are going to understand that the enemy cannot take you out when you are holding on to others. Amen. Amen. When you're in unity. Now, Pharaoh, when it all came down and God told Moses, he goes, I'm going to harden Pharaoh's heart. Because that's a type of the world. And he said, until he lets you go. And Moses, whatever it was that, you know, God spoke to Moses and Aaron, they did that. At the very beginning, as they said, you know, God says, you know, let my people go. Pharaoh's like, you got to be kidding me. Aaron had a staff that ain't not a working staff. That's like a, you know, a walking staff. And Moses said, Aaron, throw your staff on the ground. So he threw the staff on the ground, and it became a snake. And Pharaoh calls out his sorcerers and enchanters. He goes, hey, guys, look, he threw that on the ground. It became a snake. They said, oh, we can do that too. And they threw their staffs down, and it became snakes also. But then Aaron's snake swallowed all theirs. Then Aaron reaches down and he picks up the snake, becomes a staff again. He goes, I want you to know, God's not messing around. And until you let us leave and you let us worship God on our own terms, there's going to be plagues that hit. And you'll remember, if you've read through Exodus 8, 9, 10, and you see the plagues, and then you read in the book of Revelation, and you look at the things that are coming on the earth, there's a lot of similarities between how God dealt with things in Egypt and how he's going to deal with things again at the end of time. But that's a whole different message. But things started off and the different things began to come as Moses and Aaron stood against Pharaoh. And there's the plague, that first one where the water became blood, where Moses showed up as Pharaoh came out every morning and, you know, he'd do his, you know, his bathing in the river and everything, and Moses was there to meet him. Wouldn't that be wonderful? You're going to the bathroom and there's the prophet. Wonderful. So you're getting ready to take a bath. I want to tell you, it's not going to be too pleasant today because all the water is getting ready to turn to blood. Aaron waved the staff over the water. Everything became blood. Not just there. He said even in the pitchers and the bowls and everything like that, everything turned blood. Pharaoh just went inside. He was like, forget it then. I won't take a bath. I think it's okay for a day. That lasted for a whole week. Things were smelling kind of ripe. And then there came the plague of the frogs. Frogs everywhere. Coming out of the river. They were everywhere. Frogs everywhere. Unbelievable amounts of frogs. And then when the frogs were gone, there was a plague it said lice, but the better word translated from the Hebrew would either be biting gnats or mosquitoes, because the word that is used for lice talks about some sort of an insect that attaches itself to you and sucks your blood. Okay? And so it was either like a biting gnat, like a buffalo gnat, or a mosquito. And then that still wasn't enough. And those were on men, they were on their beasts. It was just everywhere. It was like a cloud of these things. And then there was the plague of the swarm of flies that came after that. I mean, it was everywhere. You didn't even know. If you're Australian, you talk out of the side of your mouth, you're still going to get them. You know, you're going to get flies. It's just whatever. I remember preaching one time in India in an outdoor crusade, and I'm in the midst of preaching, and all of a sudden this big bug flies right in my mouth. You say, what'd you do? I swallowed him. It would have been a whole lot messier to try to cough him up and spit him out. That would have been distracting. And so I just, the quickest thing is just swallow this bug. It was biblical. He was a stranger and I took him in. So I've done my share of eating insects. So, and I didn't particularly like it, so I'm not going to eat anymore, okay? I don't care how much the government pushes it. All right? So you have these four plagues, the blood, water becoming blood, plague of frogs, the mosquitoes or the gnats, the swarm of flies. And so then, finally, Pharaoh says, all right, let me make a deal with you. Let me make a deal with you. Exodus 8:25, Pharaoh calls for Moses and Aaron and says, go, sacrifice to your God here in the land of Egypt. Here's my deal. Don't go anywhere. Just stay in the middle of your bondage and worship here and sacrifice to God here. Give an offering to God just right here, not not where he wants, but just right here. Give an offering here. And Moses said, it's not suitable or right to do that, for the animals the Egyptians hold sacred and will not permit to be slain are those which we are accustomed to sacrifice to the Lord our God. If we did this before the eyes of the Egyptians, would they not stone us? And so, the deal Pharaoh wants to make, first deal, and he still tries to make this with the church, with the people of God. You sacrifice to Jehovah God, but you remain in the world. It's okay, you can go to church. Don't change, though. Stay in my territory. Don't get away from me. Because Satan doesn't want you to get outside of his territory. Satan wants you to serve God in his settings. He will keep you like crazy from sacrificing to God, but if you're determined, it's like you have to stay in my settings. Don't make a deal with the devil. No, not going to do it here. World doesn't understand your sacrifice. I'm giving this up. God spoke to my heart, I'm giving this up. You tell somebody in the world, they say, you're nuts. What kind of an idiot are you? That makes me mad that you're going to do that, actually. No, don't listen to the world. You follow after God. And then deal number two immediately comes from the mouth of Pharaoh in verse 27. Moses says, we will go a 3 days journey into the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord our God as he commands us. And so Pharaoh said, I will let you go that you may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness. Only you shall not go very far. You can't go very far and entreat your God for me. And Moses said, I go out from you and I will entreat the Lord. I will entreat the Lord that the swarms of blood-sucking gadflies may depart from Pharaoh, his servants, and his people tomorrow. Only let not Pharaoh deal deceitfully anymore in not letting the people go sacrifice to the Lord. And so Moses went out from Pharaoh and entreated the Lord. And the Lord did as Moses had spoken. He removed the swarms of attacking flies from Pharaoh, from his servants, his people, and there remained not one. But Pharaoh hardened his heart and made it stubborn this time also, nor would he let the people go. So he would let Moses go. And you can go, but you can't go very far. Don't go too far. The enemy doesn't like it when you go far away from him. Stay close. Stay close to me. There's some people in the body of Christ, you think, well, you know what? It's not very far for me to get back to God. I can go into worship, but then I can still kind of live this life here because it's very close by. I want to tell you, God wants you free from everything that the enemy wants to do. The enemy's saying, don't go too far. No, get away from it. Satan doesn't want you to get into the deep things of God. Even in worship, he's like, oh, I could really enter it. No, I don't feel I can do that. No, because the enemy is influencing you. See, this was all about worship. Everything was about worship. Let us go that we can worship God. And remember, their worship wasn't a song service. Their worship involved giving. It involved everything. It was a whole family. It was their entire, everything about them was involved in their worship. We think wrongly that worship is songs. No, that's the first part. This is a worship service. This is a worship service. Everything about this meeting is worship. Everything we do, we're giving to the Lord. Everything. This is our focus. Lord, we put other things aside. That's why we leave our homes. Right. Well, maybe not you. Hopefully you've got a valid reason and not an excuse. Because an excuse is a well-planned lie. Thank you, Sheree. We can always come up with excuses. Why this works better for me. No. The thing is that the enemy wants to keep you close to him. Remember the struggle you're having. Remember it's difficult for you. Remember, you don't feel 100% yet. Wow. Ooh, it's quiet here. I think the Presbyterians moved in. Like I said, the enemy doesn't want you to get into the deep things of God. He wants you to stay close to his territory so you can like pop back in with ease. Here I am again. And so he wouldn't release Israel to go out and to worship God. And so here comes more of the plagues. He had the plague of the death of the Egyptian cattle. And it was interesting, as Moses told him what was going to be going down, he said, listen, Pharaoh, I want to tell you something. All of your cattle's going to die. But all of the cattle of the Israelites will live. And sure enough, all of the cattle was struck and died. Pharaoh went for a chariot ride, looking around on the, you know, out through Egypt. What's going on here? And the only live cattle he saw were those that belonged to Israel. And theirs were not affected at all. They're just walking around in the grass, mooing, you know, having a wonderful time. And so you had the death of the Egyptian cattle, and then you had the plague of boils and sores that broke out on all of the Egyptians and on all of their animals. And everyone was in pain. Nobody could do anything about it. However, it was just on the Egyptians. Didn't come on the people of God. And then there was the plague of hail and fire. And it began to fall. And Moses warned him and he said, listen, I want to tell you. So you don't think, you know, you're unprepared. I want to tell you, there's getting ready to come deadly hail. And so I would advise you that you get everything you own and all of the people that are dear to you out of the fields, because there's getting ready to come a hail and fire, and it's going to destroy people. It will kill them if they're outside. Pharaoh's like, no, I don't believe you. A few of the people in Pharaoh's court listened to Moses, and they got everybody that they were in charge of. Come in, come in, come in. And those are the only people that lived that were outside. Everyone else destroyed that was outside. The fire came and destroyed everything. And so then Pharaoh says, let me make another deal with you. Third deal. And the enemy's still making the same deals with the people of God now. Exodus chapter 10 says in verse 7, Pharaoh's servant said to him, how long shall this man be a snare to us? Let the men go that they can serve the Lord their God. Do you not yet understand and know that this Egypt is destroyed? So Moses and Aaron were brought again to Pharaoh. And he says to them, go serve the Lord your God. But just who are to go? You can go serve the Lord, but who's going with you? And Moses said, we will go with our young and our old, with our sons and our daughters, with our flocks and our herds, all of us and all we have, for we must hold a feast to the Lord. And Pharaoh said to them, let the Lord be with you if I ever let you go with your little ones. See, you have some evil purpose in mind. You know, the same thing. And you get these nations of the world that control their people. They won't even let a couple go on vacation together. They won't even give them a visa to go together on vacation. Or if you go, you have to leave your kids. Can't take the whole family. Why? Because they know people want to get out of oppression. Well, that's the truth. We won't give the whole family a visa. Somebody always has to be left behind for surety. So Pharaoh says, you know, yeah, the Lord be with you if I ever let you go without your kids, with your kids. It won't happen. And he says, you have some evil purpose in mind. Not so. You that are men without families, you can go. And you can serve the Lord. For that is what you want. And Moses and Aaron were driven from his presence. He said, I'll make a deal with you. He said, only you guys can go. You can't take, actually, your wives or your children with you. I want the families. I want the families. You know, he's still trying to make that deal now. Oh, let the kids stay home. You don't need everybody to go to church together. You don't need everybody to worship. No. Have you really given in to that, people? Have you really given in to the deal with the devil? Oh, it's okay. Well, they don't need to go. No. We need to all worship. We are a family. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen. This is the deal. I got 3 sons living in my house. One will be departing in a matter of months. The grocery bill may go down some. The water bill. A little bit of everything. But the thing is this, is that here's the deal. You live in my house, you're going to go to church. That's it. Otherwise, you're on your own. Amen. You say, well, that's hard-nosed. That's how I roll. Amen. As for me and my house, this is the way it is. This is the way it is. It's not force. He's old enough, he can go do his own thing. My other son's 18. He can go if he wants to. Isn't that right, Ethan? Pay your own bills. Buy your own food. But this is the way it rolls. Amen. Because the enemy is always looking for you to give in the area of family. It's not so important. It is important. It is very important. If it wasn't important, the enemy wouldn't be making a big play for it. And so you have to be determined. You have to say, no, I will not give in. Pharaoh threw him out of his presence. He said, get out of here. I'm not making a deal with you if you think you're taking your families. Satan wants to destroy the family. He doesn't want the kids to be exposed to the power of God. Just leave them at home. No. You bring them here, they're going to experience the power of God. In this service, they'll experience the power of God in the children's ministry. They'll experience the power of God in the youth ministry. They'll experience the power of God in the singles and in the young adults. I'm going to tell you, this is what it's about. Totally, it's about what it's about. And so then came the plague of locusts, wiped out everything. And then comes the plague of darkness. It says so thick you couldn't even see somebody standing next to you. That's dark. And then Pharaoh decides, all right, I'm going to make another deal with you. So he calls Moses and Aaron back in. And it says in verse 24 of Exodus 10, then Pharaoh called Moses and said, go, serve the Lord. Only let your flocks and your herds be kept back. Let your little ones also, they can go with you. You can take your family now, but leave your flocks and your herds. Leave your possessions. Oh, I don't want you to sacrifice anything. I don't want you to be able to give. But Moses said, you must also give us sacrifices and burnt offerings that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. Our livestock shall go with us. I love this. Not a hoof shall be left behind. Not a hoof will be left behind. They're all going, move it out. Amen. Not a hoof left behind.
Hey, this is Dr. Todd Holmes, and I want to thank you for listening to this podcast, whether it was myself or my amazing wife, Katie, maybe the two of us together. If you want to be more than just an occasional listener and desire to really stand with us as we take the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ to this generation, go to riveroftricities.com. That's riveroftricities.com, and click on Donate to be a part of the Last Days Army of monthly partners that we're taking ground with. If you'd like to do that, I would like to send you a special gift for partnering with us. So until next time, thank you so much for listening. God bless you.